All right, everybody, back with part two of our colorful and lively conversation with our pilot and IBC whiz, Travis Fairbairn. I had a lot of fun with this one, and I think everybody's going to really enjoy what they hear in this part two episode about ways to, like you said, now what? I've got cash value, now what? What'd you think?
Yeah, this is kind of like an extension of our Now What series, which isn't a thing, but maybe I just made it something. And I like Travis because he's able to kind of break this down into a very simple concept and how we can use life insurance cash value to create more cash flow.
Absolutely. Enjoy. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Paul.
And we're going to challenge you to transform your financial future through the principles of the most profitable business in the world, banking.
We believe everyone should be involved in two businesses, the business that you're in and the banking business. Everyday people can replicate what bankers have been doing for centuries to leverage capital and build wealth through private lending.
Join us as we uncover the truths about money, expose lies and myths, and flip conventional financial advice on its head. Here we go. You learn very quickly how to combine IBC, so your dividend paying, cash value, whole life insurance policies, with another strategy that would help you leverage that money in a safe and very predictable manner to be able to repay your loans. Because that's the big key is playing honest banker. Don't steal the peas. You need to have a way to repay those loans. So this strategy in and of itself will repay the loan and the interest, and you have profit at the end of the day. But you're not only doing that, you're adding additional monthly cash flow, whatever you have available at the end of the month to repay that loan quicker, which allows you to participate in the infinite portion of infinite banking, which is recycling those same dollars a second time, and then a third time, and then a 10th time and beyond.
You know, I'm going to put that money into my policy system anyways. It's going to go in there. So when it goes in there with the rest of the notes, like, it's just accelerating it. I mean, you know, it just makes everything go faster. I don't think of it like I throw all cash flow into policy loans, mm-hmm. whether it's from my W-2 job, whether it's from all the notes. Like, I have a separate account. I just throw all cash flow into it. And I'm just mimicking what the banks do. I mean, when the bank has money, when it has deposits, it goes and lends it out to help people buy cars or whatever, right? I'm doing the same thing. When I have cash value, I take an amount according to a schedule I have, and I just basically do the same thing. I go and we start an amortized note just like the banks do. And then it comes back into our banking system. And then we do another note and it comes back, and we just, it's just perpetually growing. And what you find over time, you don't realize this at first, is over time, as you do the strategy, more and more of the cash in your system are coming back from previous notes you've done compared to the cash you're injecting every time. And so you end up perpetually growing in these note sizes, right? I mean, you may start at a $10,000 note, but several years in, if you make a pretty good income in your W-2, you may be doing $100,000 notes every 4 months, right? Because there's just so much movement. There's so much cash constantly coming back from these notes. And now you're putting $100,000 to work three or four times a year.
So that leads me to a question. I've been thinking about my own, because I'm doing some of this note investing as well, is that are you, with your schedule, and I don't know what it is, do you see a natural expansion when you're going to need to add another policy to accept all this cash flow because you're outpacing the available cash value in your current policies and you want to do a bigger note? You know, you're doing $10,000 notes to begin and now you're doing 50, or maybe you're going to do 100, whatever. When do you see that happening?
That's a great question. And while I started pretty big on my policies for my capability at the time, I haven't run into it yet, but I do see it coming down the road. And I know people, because I know lots of people who do the same thing, because other people who've been coached in the same strategy. And yes, your note sizes that you end up starting with will outpace usually, you know, the available cash value from your policies. And so for me, I think that's going to end up happening at some point next year. For sure.
Okay.
Actually, I'm pretty confident I'm going to have to open a policy next year at some point.
Okay. I'll call you on January 1st.
Well, I might call Paul. I don't know.
do that 1090.
Paul said he'd write me a 1090, Dave.
Nah, he won't. Nah, trust me.
I won't do it.
That is a common problem, though, because what ends up happening, I mean, in the early days, you may be going from $10,000 to a $13,000 note. But then several years in, you go from a $50,000 note to an $80,000 note. I mean, it's a big swing. And if you don't have the cash value, then it makes sense to, you've built a system up enough to support another policy. But, you know, this note cash flow is, it's also a safety net as well, right? You know, you can justify a certain amount into a new policy because of what you've been, what you've perpetually created through the system. So,
okay.
I like it.
So the next question is, who can do this? Like, how do you find these notes? Who can participate in this same kind of opportunity like Paul and I do with you? Is it open to anybody? What are the requirements? Who is it not a good fit for? Like, how does somebody get involved?
For several, for at least a year and a half to 2 years, we were just finding notes out there. I mean, we did our best just to go find. It's, they're not the easiest thing to find. And if you're operating out there just as a mom and pop one-off investor, you may end up going to, you know, a note marketplace, or, you know, I actually did some land flipping to generate notes. I would buy land low, I sold it high, and but I'd sell it on a note so I could feed my system. And that was a level of protection for me simply because I own the land. I was
that a lot of work?
It was.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds like too much work.
I got burned out. But the problem is, like, you don't know what you're going to get into. If it's not your thing, like the land, then you're entrusting somebody else. And now it becomes, you know, you hope that they're solid and that, you know, they have a good track record and all that. So fast forward a little bit. I'm a part of this private community. I think you've probably mentioned it before, Dave. And in this private community, we often ask ourselves this question of, okay, how do we take what we're doing in the outside world? In my situation, it was finding notes, and bring it inside and do it inside of this private community. So that, in one of the great things about this community is that there is a level of protection around all of its members' activity. So I'm asking myself, well, I'm already doing this thing. Let's just do it inside, so we can have a level of protection and stop having to worry about a default on this note or whatnot, right? Mm-hmm. So that led to us creating this this co-lending club, where a group of us members, we co-lend together, and we do it all inside of this private community. And I can tell you, having been in this community for years and also doing notes outside of this community for years, I'm way more comfortable, and it's way easier to just do it inside of this private community. It's been way more effective that way. And frankly, since we've started this, we've had a lot of people come in with us who are doing the same thing outside that have come in and started doing it inside, because it just makes more sense. If you're going to do it with as little risk as possible. And that's really what we're trying to accomplish first and foremost, before even returns, is setting up a scenario where we can de-risk as much as possible. And so, yeah, so we've kind of started to educate some of this private community and how to do this, because some people in this private community don't know this strategy. And a lot of them have policies. So we have begun to do some coaching and educating people. We do a call on Monday nights. But then those of us who are doing, actually enacting this strategy, we have a co-lending group where we are lending, you know, just as a group of people together.
Okay. So what if somebody doesn't have $10,000 to put in a note?
You know, if someone is going to stack, I usually suggest, we usually base note sizes off of what your savings rate is. What is your monthly cash flow? And it takes, you could do it with less than $500 a month, but it takes some time to start building up if you don't have more than $500 a month, right? So I usually ask people, if they're going to do this strategy, start with at least $500 a month. And
you're talking extra cash flow to repay your loan.
Yeah, that you can inject into the system.
Okay.
Yes. I'm saying your savings rate that you can inject, that you can save.
On top of your amortized payment that you're putting into repaying your loan. Okay, got it.
If someone comes to me and says, yeah, I mean, I save $500 a month at least, right? Let's just say they save $500 a month even. Then I would say, okay, you save $500 a month. You know, take that number, multiply it by about 5 months. That should be your starting note, $2,500.
Okay.
Right. We know that they could save $2,500 over a 5 month period. And that is, you know, in our co-lending group, the minimum that any one individual lends with is $2,500.
which right. is pretty low, man. There's probably very few opportunities out there for something as low as $2,500 a month.
Right. Well, and also we're not a, you know, we're not a fund or anything. We're just a group of people who've come right. together to lend as a group. And so we're not really trying to set the bar at a certain level for entry so that we're earning off of it. That's not really what we're doing. We just want enough people to come together that we can write decent sized notes, because the bigger the note,
the better,
the more marketable. Right? Here's something else I learned about doing it in this format. I used to do notes alone on a, mm-hmm. on an individual basis. Those notes, I'm usually a customer somewhere of, or some, I mean, those notes aren't as marketable. They're not an asset themselves because they're so small. But mm-hmm. what I've learned through this is when you come together and let's say you have a bunch of people who are going to come together to make one loan together, then that, if call it, let's say that loan is several hundred thousand dollars, that's an asset in itself. That's something technically that could be sold if needed. We just created a whole new asset out of the paper of a bunch of people co-lending together.
Yeah.
And so really care how big it is. We don't really care how big your amount is that comes in. Mm-hmm. It's not the each individual person's amount. It's just collectively as a co-lending group, we have more power.
So it's right. the many hands make light work.
Yeah. And the fact you can do a whole lot more, you know, 1 + 1 = 3 instead of just 2, like 1 + 1 = more than 2. It has to for it to make sense to do anything as a group. But before we hit record here, you were telling us how the bank treats you now when you walk into the bank that is handling these transactions. They got this constant influx of cash. Cause I think these notes the program you've built is paying out a lot of money every month that comes into the account and gets dispersed back out to all the people involved, right? So the banks see that transaction history. And when you walk into the bank, you're not Mr. Account Holder, you're Mr. Fairbairn.
This is true. Totally right? different relationship than I've ever had with a bank. Now when yeah. I walk into this bank, you know, they treat me a little bit differently
now. Offering
because,
you coffee and a conference room and, you know,
that's exactly, it's not even, right. They'll would you like us to shred these papers for you or do, you know, I've had them come out to the car before in the rain. They're like, oh, we don't want you to get wet. Here, we'll take your checks. They come out of the car and grab my checks from me.
Isn't it funny when you're on the other side, when you're not a customer, you're really a partner of a bank. Like, yeah. I'd say Nelson says, don't deal with banks. Don't be a customer of a bank. You're nothing. You're a pawn in their game. If you're a partner, they're going to treat you better. Like, they're going to treat you like a partner because they want you and they need you.
You know, and it's not even really me. It's our co-lending club that we have. It's just, I'm the face of it to them.
Yeah, right. You're the account holder. Like, you're the person, the signatory on the account, and you're the butt that they have to kiss.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good feeling, right? Walk into the bank and they roll out the red carpet and you get what you want.
You know, I actually just had a problem. We opened a company that's involved with this private community, totally separate from note stacking, right? But it's a holdings company for a lot of our co-lending club. If they want to start growing wealth in this other vehicle to start growing perpetual, you know, asset, you know, growth in this holdings company, right? And I had a problem where our director of this holdings company actually lives in the DC area, but I live in Texas. And so I was going to go to a different bank who doesn't know me and open an account. And it was way too hard because both of us were in different places and they wanted both of us there and all this. But I ended up opening it at the same bank that we're doing our co-lending club at, because they were like, they bent over backwards to make it work, you know, just to your point. So,
yeah, I know what you mean. I've got accounts with a bank, other business accounts from other ventures. And man, when I call, they answer. It's like they return my call before I even call them.
Mm.
It's, they, you're not the one going to them hat in hand saying, I need something, and they've got all the control. It's amazing when you take over the banking function in your own life, banks start treating you differently. So one of those unseens that you can't realize until you start controlling your own capital. Oh, that's pretty cool.
Very cool. And Travis, just tying this all back to IBC, you're obviously a huge proponent. You practice it. You practice the concept at a very high level, higher than most people. You know, I keep saying this on this podcast, on page 69 of Becoming Your Own Banker, Nelson reminds us why loan origination from a whole life policy enhances your investment return.
Page 69. I keep it right here at my desk all the time.
But I can get a higher rate of return. People think But like Travis mentioned earlier, and Dave and I always talk about, this is about banking and how, you know, we can mimic using whole life policies, how banks make money. And it's exactly what we do. And they make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Using other people's money.
So Travis, here's one thing I may say, because I think I've told you how I've used my, the big loan I took to fund one of these note opportunities with you or with your program. And instead of using my amortized payment every month coming back to me to repay that loan, I've decided to use that amortized payment coming back to fund a monthly premium. So now I'm hands off for the next 5 years. I've got 60 months of that amortized payment coming back that's going to fund that premium for 60 months with no input from me. It's fire and forget. And now that big loan I took out, I pay back that back with all the extra cash flow I've got. And I already paid it back. I mean, I paid it back, you know, a few months after I took that loan.
Nice.
So now it's, you know, time for another
you
one.
You know, and you got a discount, by the way, on your premium, right? Because roughly about 20% of the payment you're getting every month. Remember, it's a principal and interest payment. Mm-hmm. About 20% of that payment is new money.
Right.
Which means so you got a 20% discount on your premium.
It's more like 23 or 24% or something like that.
Yeah, maybe
like,
so.
It's like 23%. So I essentially got 23% more premium for the same dollar.
Right.
Correct. Yeah. It's like a external premium deposit fund rider that you're just doing outside of the life insurance company.
Yeah. But it's so automatic because my payment from this program hits my account on the same day every month. And like I plan it for like 3 days later, the insurance company drafts that same exact to the dollar amount from my account and funds my premium.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. Yeah. I'm using my notes, and I think I'm going to participate in this November note that's coming up, is I'm using it to pay for my HOA fees and my boat storage fees so that that's not an out-of-pocket expense for me. It's just done through this note program.
That's great. I mean, that's another way to use it. I mean, there's so many different ways to use it. It's what are your needs in life right now?
Yep.
And I think it's really well-suited for somebody who just wants to take the same pile of capital and recycle it and build it, continue building it over time and kind of put it away, but use that money for building, not necessarily living off of it. There may come a time when I want to do that, or like Paul, have that payment directed towards an expense in life where I'm just getting a bigger bang for my buck and basically getting a massive discount on whatever that expense is because I'm first running that money through the note and getting, you know, interest on it.
And of course, in actuality, am I actually taking the exact payment I get every month and sending it? No, I'm not. Like, I'm doing what we're all doing. I'm sending all that money back against the policy loans. But the way I think about it is like, all right, my monthly expenses for these three things is this. I need another note to kind of capture all that. And then the next expense is this. All right, I'm going to add another note to you know, to address that one. So it's... But and you're
setting up a discount on every one of those things by doing it that way. There's different ways to do it. We discussed one way with stacking, Paul, but like what you're doing, my brother's doing the same thing as you're doing for paying his truck off. So he got a traditional loan on his truck, but he's offsetting not only the cost of interest, but the cost of the truck because of this kindling payment that he's getting. And he throws that against his truck. You know, there's people in our private community that are on fixed incomes, right? They're retired. They do totally something that's totally different. The great thing when you have regular monthly cash flow like this is it gives you options.
Yep,
you can choose what to do with it. It's not tied up. I'm in, you know, this 401k or the stock market or even a real estate investment. And I'm not opposed to real estate investments. It's just some capital needs to be liquid. And this gives you options. This is just a way to capitalize and magnify and amplify the growth of your money, even if you're not ready to inject it into something like a piece of real estate.
If you built up, just like you did, Paul, you built up, you stacked enough notes that your monthly influx of cash flow from these note payments is enough to cover all your basic expenses. Even if you don't use it to cover your expenses, it's enough. You're still funneling that back to your policies. But what if the worst happens? You lose your job. You and your wife both lose your job. Guess what? You still got all that money coming in. Instead of putting that back to repaying a loan, now you got that to cover all your living expenses. Yeah. You're good.
How cool is that? Exactly right.
Yeah.
Options. That actually helps me. So I think about that myself, being a pilot. And if I lose my medical, right, I sleep better at night knowing that I'm going to be getting this check every single month over here. for an amount of time. I have several years of these before I even go put them to work. I have several years of these checks directly coming to me that I can use if I need to.
Yeah. Long runway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, that's awesome. Man, so where can people find out more about this if they're interested?
Yeah, we have a forum that we can share, right, okay, Dave, and put that in the show notes.
Okay, I'll put the form in the show notes.
So that'll just basically go sign up and say, hey, I want more information about our private community and whatnot. And
okay,
you know, cool. You'll
get that message
email
directly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. And there's a spot in there for everybody to put where you heard about this opportunity. Just put Paul and Dave or Wealth Warehouse. So Travis knows when he gets somebody that puts Paul and Dave down on that form, he better call them right away. They go to the top of his to-do list.
Like a VIP list.
Yeah. Yeah. The listeners at Wealth Warehouse are your VIP list. So that's awesome. Again, I encourage everybody to go back to episode 194 and watch a drawing example. So visit, you know, watch the YouTube version so you can follow along, but I draw it out and explain exactly how somebody can use these notes and do all the math and everything for you, which Travis, of course, can do for you as well. But if you go in with a good understanding before you really talk to Travis or learn more about this program, it's going to benefit you. Just like anything, a little pre-study is a good thing. All right, Paul, anything before we sign off, man?
No, appreciate it, Travis. I mean, it's a great program. Glad to be a small part of it and participating in it. And I'm glad that you put it together because it's really helping a lot of people.
Well, hey, thanks for having me on, guys. And I'm honored that you guys were inviting me to come on today. So thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a pleasure, man. Always happy to have another pilot on the show.
Yeah.
You know, you can't have too many pilots at any one time. Although a lot of hot air in any room where there's three pilots gathered, but
we're I don't know if our wives rooms, so it's okay. Would agree with your statement, Dave, like too many pilots.
They wouldn't, our wives, but here's the good news. My wife doesn't listen. No, I'm kidding, babe. Sometimes she does. So yeah, I know Tammy listens.
Yeah. Every week.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, I hope everybody enjoyed this. This is probably going to be a two-parter, but hey, until next time, control your capital.
Or somebody else will.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. If you'd like to have a conversation with us to see how you can become your own banker, or if you have any questions or topics you'd like us to tackle on a future episode, please send us an email to davidandpaul@theibcguys.com.
And subscribe and leave us a review if you're on Apple. Follow and leave us a 5-star review if you're on Spotify. And please share this with your friends. We'll see you next week.